Hi everyone, and welcome to the Product Marketing Insider podcast. My name is Lawrence Chapman, and I'm a copywriter here at PMA. This week's episode is brought to you by App Queues. Ever launched a new feature only to see it go unused? Ever waited days or even weeks to get that usage data requested? Well, you're not alone. Product marketers have taken on more responsibility than ever, from adoption and retention to cross-selling and upselling, but haven't been empowered with the tools needed to own their results. Why? They're still too dependent on developers. App Queues empowers product marketers to measure and improve product adoption without a developer. It's the new favorite product marketing tool. Track feature usage and engage users with in-app onboarding tours, feature announcements, and surveys without relying on code. Visit appqueues.com to start your free trial today. This week, I'm thrilled to be joined by Eric Muller, Director of Product Marketing at Sage. Eric's worked in the tech sector his entire career, helping companies define their product marketing strategy, product marketing, demand generation, and sales copywriting to reach new customers, increase product usage, and grow revenue. Thanks so much for joining me, Eric.
Thanks, Lawrence, for having me.
Not a problem. It's our pleasure. So just to start off, really, could you give the listeners a brief insight into your current role at Sage, please?
Sure, yeah. So I'm a director of product marketing at Sage. I've been there for just over 4 years now. And I work on a product category called business management solutions, which are basically products that medium-sized businesses need to run their both their financials and their ERP systems. So we do focus a lot on manufacturing, distribution, retail, these types of segments.
Okay, awesome. And was there anything in particular that made you want to become a product marketer in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, I've worked in the tech sector my entire career, which shockingly spans 2 decades. So time flies when you're having fun. I've worked in a lot of different areas of different fields within the tech sector over my career. So I started in marketing, and then I worked in product management. I then worked in learning services, went off and did some marketing consultancy, and now I'm in product marketing. So I've worked in a lot of different areas. I think the thing that's always appealed to me about product marketing is this analogy of it being sort of the CEO of the different facets of your marketing. So for people who enjoy marketing, it's a great way to be at the middle of all the different types of marketing that are done for a product, everything from field marketing to brand to pricing strategy to the positioning to all these different facets, the messaging. It's a nice way to have a sampling of everything and really to have a holistic view of the products that you're taking to market.
Okay. And how did you get into the product marketing in the first place? And what did your first job in the industry look like?
Yeah, it's interesting. So I think the thing that you find at different software companies is that there are companies where if it's a smaller organization, a lot of times the product management role and the product marketing role are one role. So I think as you get into larger organizations, you find that those roles actually split and then you can become far more specialized. Earlier in my career, I worked as a product manager, but I was never one of those technical product managers. I was really a product manager who is probably more of a product marketer anyway. But it's basically something that I've worked in the past and I've always enjoyed doing. But I think, yeah, it's so basically I've worked in a lot of different areas, and I think it's just simply, even though, as I've mentioned, I've worked in different areas, but because I have a marketing background, product marketing felt like the natural place. Even though I've worked in different areas of the tech sector, product marketing was the place that I wanted to get back to.
Okay, brilliant. And is somebody who's very much like honed the craft of writing effective sales copy, what's your tip for product marketers to help them write copy that actually converts? Because I mean, as a copywriter myself, I know how hard that can be to kind of get, to get that skill and, refine that skill, really.
Yeah, definitely. And maybe I'll tell a little bit of the backstory on this one. So I think it's probably going back about 6 years ago, I was listening to a lot of podcasts on entrepreneurship where you'd have these entrepreneurs talking about like the one secret skill they found was so important for them to help get their startups off the ground. And everyone kept on talking about sales copywriting. And I thought, I studied marketing in school. I've worked in marketing my entire career. I have a sense of what they mean by sales copywriting, but what is it really that they're getting? What is it that they're on about here? So I started to read some of the books they talked about. And it really is, I mean, obviously, you know this, Lawrence, but for those watching, sales copywriting really is a very specific set of skills that I personally think every marketer should have. And I would argue that most marketers haven't really invested in their sales copywriting skills as they should and clearly need to be as effective as possible. But in my own case, what I did is I started to look at the different books that people were referencing in these podcasts. And it became kind of a bit of an obsession that, you know, one book led to another book led to another book. And if I were to go look at my bookshelf downstairs, I suspect I have probably close to 20 different books on sales copywriting. And you do find, as you start to read a lot of these books, that they talk about many of the same kinds of ideas, but there are all kinds of different little tips and tricks you can pick up from different ones. But I think from a product marketer's perspective, really the sales pitch to a product marketer, so why they should do this, is that if you think about the power of your words, whether it's to influence internal sales colleagues to say, hey, this is why you should focus on selling my product versus another one, or if it's to, as you said, to focus on how you're converting with prospects. A product marketer's role will vary, obviously, by the size of the organization. If you're in a smaller organization, you might have to do some of that demand generation, some of those demand gen activities yourself, in which case you need those sales copywriting skills. If you are a product marketer in a larger organization, you might actually have a team or perhaps an outsourced agency that's doing that for you. However, if you don't really understand what makes sales copy good, it's possible that stuff that's pretty mediocre is actually coming past your desk, and you might approve something not realizing that it's actually not as effective as it could be. So understanding what makes good sales copy, I'd say, is absolutely critical for every product marketer.
And as far as, because I actually think that's really interesting that you say that it's almost like some things can almost slip through the net, and you know, you can get some really mediocre just kind of, you know, going out there to the masses. So do you ever see, or have you ever seen, you know, as far as company messaging is concerned, any mistakes that are just being made time and time again? And how can product marketers almost like prevent themselves from making these mistakes?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, definitely you do see. I mean, I'd say this is something that a lot of tech companies struggle with, is that I think a lot of times the challenge we have when we're writing sales copy is that we want to talk about what we know rather than what the customer or the prospect cares about. And it's easy with a new release to say, hey, we're introducing feature A, B, and C. And that's the great thing about this new release. That's really focusing on the wrong thing. This is what we care about. But what we want to really focus on is what is it that the prospect cares about? And I think if you have done the work in advance in terms of, you know, having user personas, buyer personas, and for those that are familiar with the book from Strategizer, the customer value proposition, I think that's the name of the book. I can double check it. But if you really understand that, you understand what the pains are and also what the aspirations of your customers are. If you focus your sales copy on those things, then you'll get a sense of, are the releases that we're bringing to market even focusing on the right things? That's obviously the product marketer's, or the product manager's job rather. But then the product marketers also think about, are we actually writing sales copy that resonates with what customers care about? So I think that's the thing is, and as a product marketer, we also need to challenge in a, you know, in a very positive, constructive way. We need to challenge inside our organizations. Are we focusing on the right capabilities? Because sometimes there's an emphasis on let's keep iterating these features. But if we're not getting to the heart of what's a really painful problem for the customer, we might continue to have mediocre success in the market. So we have to be challenging to ourselves and our team saying, hey, are we really focusing on the right things? And if we've done those things, great. Let's also message it so they're really getting to the heart of what's important for the customer. But I think that's something that a lot of product marketers, sometimes, if we're just really honest, as product marketers, sometimes we're making the best of the situation or the hand that we've been dealt, right? There's certain things that are happening. You have to try to tell the best possible story. So that does happen sometimes. But I think over the long term, the more that we can ask challenging questions internally, we can help the company do the right thing. And when we say the right thing, it's ultimately what's the right thing for the customer.
Okay, brilliant. And to kind of bring things back to Sage, can you tell us a little bit more about your direct team in terms of, first of all, numbers and also the roles within that team?
Sure, yeah. So we actually have a very decentralized model at Sage. So that has varied over the years. So in the past, there have been times when the regional product marketers reported into me directly. But actually, at the moment, the way that it works is the regional product marketing teams actually report into a local managing director. And then what you have is you actually have a segment at Sage, and that's I work in the segment, which is called Business Management Solutions, which, as I mentioned, is for the medium-sized business segment. So what we do is really we're sort of an oversight, if you will. We provide the strategic direction for the business, and then we work with the regions to align with them. So being able to influence is very important. You want to be able to put ideas forth to the regions to sell them on a vision and to get them aligned. And you don't have the benefit of directly managing them. So clearly you need to be able to sell your ideas and to get them working in unison with you. So that's that. The decentralized model, which I have worked with in other organizations as well, definitely makes it a little bit more challenging. It has its other benefits as well, but you just need to be mindful of that.
Okay. And kind of just picking on what you've said there with, you know, working in unison, which is obviously such an important part of product marketing. So looking at the way that you, you know, work with other teams, so such as marketing, sales, you know, product operations, etc., which departments do you find that you work with the most at Sage?
I'd say the ones that I work with the most are certainly the regional product marketers, because that's your peer group in the region who becomes your point of contact to get to others in the region. But all the other groups that you mentioned are certainly ones that we would work with. So I would work with people that are responsible for sales enablement, partner enablement, field marketing, field sales, support, product management, all those different organizations in the region. I think this is the challenge also as a product marketer, is that on the one hand, you want to be known by all those people. And if they're having a problem, that being seen as the go-to person is always a great thing, because then you're very visible in the organization and people know that you can help solve problems. That's a great place to be, but it's also a challenge when you can't get scale. Because imagine if you're dealing with 10 different regions and you're their first point of contact, you're not a scalable resource. So I think this is the balancing act that you play, is being important to the regions or being visible in the field, but then also figuring out how do you actually scale your efforts as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you were saying earlier on in the podcast that, you know, your experience has spanned now like 20 years. But what would you say that the top three skills are that have helped you get to where you are today? Because, you know, there are so many product marketers out there, whether or not they're, you know, almost like, you know, a product marketing manager level, or just literally coming into their product marketing career, or they may be thinking about transitioning into product marketing, they'll want to hit the levels that you've hit. And how can they do that? You know, what are the skills that you can pinpoint and think, right, those are the absolute critical skills that have helped me to get to the role of director of product marketing?
Yeah, I think, there are, like, you could probably come up with a list of 20, but if I were to narrow it down to three, I think one that is really critical to me that I think about, this is applicable certainly every single day, is the ability to solve problems. And when you think about it, right, in the software industry or any sector within tech, every day we have problems to deal with. You know, you find out the development team is going to be late on something. You're trying to figure out, well, we're racing to get to a go-to-market launch. We need to have that ready in time. You've launched something in the market and maybe you're not getting the uptake with either the sales colleagues or perhaps the partners. And the question then is always, well, why? Why are we not having the problem? I think sometimes, so having grown up in Canada, I think a lot in terms of ice hockey analogies. And when you see children playing ice hockey, what often happens is the puck is moving around the ice and there are a swarm of children following that puck. And you can have the same thing actually happening in a tech company as well, that there can be a problem. Everyone's kind of chasing the problem around. And what is needed sometimes is someone to step back and say, let's get back down to first principles here. And what exactly is happening and why is that happening? And there could be potentially 10 different problems, but sometimes you have to say, well, what is, if we could only solve one problem, what is the problem that's really going to be that Archimedes lever that's going to help us solve the other ones. And I think that's something that the business needs from a product marketer. They need our help to be that problem solver, because there are always going to be problems. And truthfully, you're going to be more valuable to your organization the more that you can help them solve those problems. So that's just number one. But that's really a big one for me. Another one that I think of as well is communication. We've talked about sales copywriting, but communication is absolutely critical. If you are not effective in presenting, if you're not effective in communicating through the written word, you're going to really struggle as a product marketer. Now, one thing I would encourage people to consider is don't label yourself as, oh, I'm a rubbish speaker, or I'm not very good at writing and that sort of thing. These are absolutely learnable skills, and you're not just going to take one class or read one book and completely nail this thing. These are journeys. You know, you continue to hone these things over the span of your career. So I think that's the thing, is if anyone feels that they're not as strong as they could be, I would say continue to focus on how you can improve those things, and ask people for feedback and be open to that feedback. That's another thing I'd say. A third one, and I'm kind of wrestling, so I want to squeeze a couple things into my number three spot here. I think having a positive perspective on things is very important, which doesn't mean that you're delusional and only looking at the bright side of things. But I think you have to have a positive mentality in terms of we absolutely can do this. There have been product launches that I've been part of where you have people that are getting close to launch date and people are panicking. We're not in time for this. We've got this issue. We've got that problem. And someone needs to be the voice of, no, you know what? We absolutely can do this. Okay, what's the problem? What's the highest priority problem? Tell me what that is. We'll find a solution. Like, you need to be that positive voice, because there will be a lot of other parts of the business that say, no, we want to delay the launch, or we're not ready, or this isn't as quite as good as it can be. But I think having a positive outlook is really important, which doesn't mean you're not open to feedback. I mean, you need to be able to hear the negative feedback. But when people give negative feedback, you have to challenge it and say, is that really that important, or why is it that way? And I think really go a few layers deeper to understand it. But yeah, being that positive champion for your product is also really important. So those would be my three.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's great. I mean, you know, it's almost like the whole negative, you know, negative vibes are just like poisonous sometimes, aren't they? So I can totally understand.
They can be. Yeah.
So look, just looking at the way in which, you know, new products and features, when they're being introduced at Sage, what does that look like at the company, and how does that compare to previous places where you've been based?
So do you mean the go-to-market, the rig? Okay. Yeah. So at Sage, I would say other companies that I've worked with have had something similar. So I'd say this is quite standard, but what we have is we have a launch framework that we have that's agreed upon at a global level that the regions use. And it's one of those things where it provides structure and support where it's needed. So it's not a blueprint where you must follow absolutely every single step to the letter. It's not quite that rigorous and strict. It's more framework to give guidance so that there's consistency across regions, and also to give them support in terms of, here are the things that we're expecting from you. I would also argue that we're probably continuing to evolve what that looks like at Sage as well. When you look, for those that don't know who Sage is, it's a company that's been around, I believe, I'm trying to remember what the exact years that we found it, but we're roughly 40 years old. And we're very much transitioning that old world of selling on-premise software to software as a solution. And I think the thing is, when you look at go-to-markets, they tend to be quite different in those two different worlds. So we're an organization that's evolving. So we still have on-premise products, but we also have a lot of software as a service offerings that are based in the cloud. So I think we're continuing to evolve. And it's also, in a large organization, you have that tension of what's the right amount of structure without being too cumbersome for launches. So I think we're continuing to iterate and refine upon those things. But it is good to have that, because, again, in a large organization, you need consistency between product lines, between regions. And it's really a comforting thing to know, okay, good, we've ticked all the boxes. We've hit all the key things for our launch here.
Great. And to, you know, to round off what's been an amazing discussion, really enjoyable podcast, if there are any new or aspiring product marketers who are listening to this episode, what would your advice to them be to help them get the most out of their product marketing journey?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think if I were in their shoes at an earlier stage, I think networking is a really important thing. And that's something that's really great about the Product Marketing Alliance is you now have a group that brings other like-minded people together through your various online forums. I know there's a Slack group as well. I think having that those touch points is really valuable. I think it can be everything from trading notes in terms of, hey, if you're doing competitive analysis, what tools or templates have you used that have been effective? When you're doing messaging, what structures or frameworks have been helpful? If you're trying to develop your sales copywriting skills, what books or courses or talks have been helpful for you? Or even just asking the community for feedback on things. Hey, I'm working on something here. Would anyone be willing to take a look at this and provide some feedback? I think leveraging what other people have done is really a great thing. When you think about how you can develop your skill set, I mean, sure, you can take a course, you can read a book, you can get a mentor, you could create your own mastermind group of other product marketers and figure out maybe you can create a small group of people across different businesses where you share stuff and you can get feedback. But being really open to feedback is really important. It's a very difficult thing to do, but it's also one of the most beneficial things that you can do professionally. And I, just to be really transparent about it, it took me a long time to get comfortable with that. And I remember I saw an interview once where Kevin Rose, the founder of Dig, was interviewing Elon Musk. And Elon Musk made a comment in this interview along the lines of he only wanted to hear what the negative feedback was, because he said, when I know what that is, now I can actually do something about that. And I thought that was quite an interesting worldview, because often negative feedback is the thing we don't want to hear, or we really shy away from it. And I think the more that you can lean into it and take that on the chin, the more people are going to have tremendous respect for you in your organization, that nothing, you're not afraid of anything. You'll just lean into problems and figure out how to fix them. So these are some things I would definitely encourage product marketers earlier in their career to take these things on, do some of those things, network with those people, and be open to that feedback, I'd say.
That's great advice. Eric, thank you so much for taking the time out to speak with me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
My pleasure, Lawrence. Nice to speak with you. And thanks for inviting me to have this chat.
Not a problem at all. Thank you very much.
For everyone still tuned in, thanks so much for listening. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please help us spread the word to other product marketers. Before we leave you to get on with your day, if you want to get involved, here are a few ways you can. If you're a product marketer and you want to come on the show and speak about your day, a specific topic, or your role in general, that's one option. If you want to flex your podcast hosting skills, being a guest host is another. And finally, if you or your company want to sponsor an episode, there's a third. Thanks again, and have a great morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are.